Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Shadows on the Wall, Volume 3, Story 1. On the weekend of June 11, 12, and 13th of 2004, the Civil War reenactment group that I founded held a living history at Oakley Plantation in St. Francisville. The plantation is more than 200 years old, and according to one of the people that works there, had about 30 people die in the house during its years as a plantation and later as a ranch until it was sold to the state of Louisiana sometime in the mid to late 1940s. The house still has the original barn, an outside kitchen. The slave cabins were all torn down sometime in the late 1800s to make room for cattle ranching. The family who built the house owned it until it was sold to the state. Anyway, my wife and I got to the plantation around 5 p.m. and set up camp. It was a hot day and we were glad when the sun set. I had been to the house one other time to help cut up an old oak tree that fell over during a storm, but never looked around the house before. To give you an idea of how things were set up, if you were looking at the front of the house, our camp was about 50 feet to the left. The public restrooms are about 10 to 20 feet to the right. And the kitchen building is in the back of the house. There is a cobblestone walk going along the back of the house with three sets of steps leading to the back porch. Well, about 10:30 or 11 p.m., I had to use the restroom, so I went to the public rooms. After taking care of business, I decided to look around the house. I was in a Confederate uniform and had an old oil-burning lantern with me. Anyway, I went up the back stairs, which is the servants' entrance to the house, and the sick room. The door was locked, but I could look through the glass. I held my lantern up and was inspecting the old desk, etc., in the room, and then looked to the left. There was another door going to the library or gentleman's room. It was at this point that I saw a shadow moving about in that room. The shadow was about 5 feet tall, no hat, and what looked like a vest. Upon seeing this, I returned to camp and asked if anyone was in the house. According to the groundskeeper, the house was locked up and the alarm was set. He warned us not to go up the front stairs to the house at night, as that would set off the alarm. I told him what I saw, and he said that I had just seen the shadow man and that other people have seen him as well. It was at this point that one of the ladies in our room told us that if you go to the rebuilt slave cabins, turn right and look for some boxwood hedges, you would feel evil or hatred. I, along with several other guys of the group, went to this area but felt heard and saw nothing. The others returned to camp, but I walked back to the house. I sat on the steps with the house to my back and right, and was playing with a cat that hangs around. After a few minutes, the cat jumped down, walked to my right, sat on another set of steps, and was looking up at the house. I looked up and saw a young girl of about 16 looking down at the cat. I said hello to her, but she did not respond. I looked back at the cat and back up at the house, but the girl was gone. The girl had her hair pulled and fixed up in the 1850 to 1860 style and had on period clothing. The one thing I could not see was her legs or any part of her below the waist. Again, I returned to camp and told the group what I had just seen. Others went to the house but saw nothing. Around 1 a.m., I, along with Ed and his daughter Penny, went to the house. Ed and I went up the back steps and looked in the door again, only to see the shadow man walking around the room. At one point, he looked over at us and we could see no face. Upon looking at us, he promptly disappeared. We went back down the steps and walked to the front of the house. At this point, we were all looking up at the second floor when the girl was looking out the window at us. She was gone in a second. Penny then went to the front door on the first floor and was looking through the window when a shadow blocked the light coming in from the door to the right. The room on the right was used by John J. Audubon when he was a teacher at the plantation. That was the last we saw that night, or the rest of the weekend. Around 6:30 or 7 a.m. Saturday morning, another of the girls with our group went to the bathroom. As she was coming back, she heard footsteps walking behind her. She thought it was one of us, but when she turned around, no one was there. She walked again and again. She heard the footsteps. At this point, she ran back to camp and would not go near the house by herself. My wife, who was an amateur photographer, took some pics of the house, but nothing could be seen except on one photo, which shows what some people call an orb. The people who work at the house said that it was strange for us to have seen so much in one night, as things don't usually happen until the fall. The only thing we could figure was that with all the people running around the grounds in 1860s clothing and Confederate uniforms, we must have disturbed them. Story number two. I've had only experiences with two shadow people, or creatures. While I was growing up, I lived in a house that was 40 years old. The entire time I lived in that house, the only good night of sleep I had were when I was spending the night at a friend's or relative's house, or the year or so I spent sleeping in my grandmother's bedroom with her. Every night, after everyone had gone to bed, I would wake up to see a man-shaped shadow standing in front of my closet door. This was regardless of whether the door was opened or not. The only visual description I can give of the man is that he was just darker than the space around him. I felt that he was evil and watching me. Every night when this occurred, I would summon the courage to jump out of my bed and the psychological safety of my blankets and run down the hall to my parents' bedroom, where I would jump into their bed claiming nightmares. I was a very reticent child, and it never occurred to me actually tell my parents what was going on, but this might have been because my parents are engineers and would have sent me straight to a shrink instead of consoling me, and there I would sleep quite well. One night, when I was 7, the same thing happened as usual, but when I ran to my parents' bedroom, I found the door locked. I screamed and banged at the door for possibly as long as an hour while watching the shadow watch me from my open doorway. Eventually it left and I passed out there on the floor. I found out in the morning that my parents had decided, without bothering to inform me, that I was too old to be sleeping in their bed and they were going to keep their door locked nightly. With me unable to leave the room, the shadow man became more active. Rather than simply standing in the corner of the room, he would slowly advance toward me, sometimes standing at the foot of the bed, sometimes sitting at the foot of the bed, sometimes coming right up next to me and staring down at me, and at least twice rising up into the air from the foot of the bed and hovering directly over me a foot or two from the ceiling. He never touched me but always seemed malevolent. Later that year at 7, I converted to Christianity, was baptized, and began to pray fervently to God and Jesus every night that the man would go away. It did nothing. This may be one of the main reasons I converted back to atheism a couple of years later. I tried telling him to go away in a firm voice. This also did nothing. The only other place in the house I ever felt uneasy was in the bathtub. There was no shower and only one bathroom, which was directly on the other side of the wall from my closet. When I was 10 or 11, I asked my parents if anyone else had ever died in the house. They said the realtor had mentioned an old man dying in the bathtub, but hadn't much cared because they didn't believe in ghosts. While it would make sense to believe the shadow man was the same as the old man who died in the bathtub, I never got the sense that the shadow man was elderly or in fact human in any way. It did not seem like a thing that had ever lived. It felt ageless, as though I had never experienced any emotion other than hostility. My family moved the summer before I started 7th grade, and I never saw it again. My life calmed down a lot, in the supernatural sense, until I was 16. I was having a very difficult teenage experience, particularly with my parents, and spent most of my nights at friends' houses, which my parents did not mind in the least. One night, I was sitting outside my best friend's house with her while she smoked a cigarette and bitched about government oppression and other typical teenage topics. Suddenly, we heard a noise behind us and turned to see the small cement sewer cover fly upward and sewage spew out of the hole. This was about 3 feet behind us, and we ran into the middle of the street to get away from the possibility of being covered in whatever was coming out of that hole. We agreed it was weird and went inside. A while later, how much later, I can't recall, myself and my friend both looked at the front door simultaneously. I said something to the effect of, "Someone's at the door," and my friend got up to look through the people but said she couldn't see anyone. Both of us still felt someone was there, so we went to look at the entry from the kitchen window. What I saw was a column of swirling blackness, the same type of blackness of which the shadow man of my childhood was made. I turned to look at my friend. Her face was blanched, and she said, "It's a demon." This statement I attribute to a combination of her Romanian upbringing, very superstitious, and the intense feeling of evil emanating from the thing. Many times the intensity of the shadow man will then seem friendlier in comparison. My friend then grabbed a big box of salt from the pantry and walked around the house arm in arm with me while she poured salt under every door and window. She told me Romanians do this to keep evil from crossing through them. I guess evil can't come in through a wall. Anyhow, I guess it worked because the thing just stayed in the entryway all night. We stayed up all night too, just because falling asleep seemed like it might be the wrong thing to do. The thing disappeared at dawn, at which point my friend charged outside for a much-needed cigarette, and I walked home. Suddenly, home seemed safer than where I was, despite everything. For half a year after that, everywhere I went, sewer and water-type things exploded, often right before I arrived at any given location. Many faucets and sprinklers were repaired around me, and even one water main, but that was the last I saw of shadows. I feel it may be important to mention that I have seen a lot of ghosts, and they have always seemed just like people to me, until I looked at them and they vanished after a second. They have never given me any feelings of terror or dread, though sometimes they are a little startling. Like the time I was going to the bathroom in a friend's house 2 years ago and looked up to see some man in the doorway watching me pee. I asked my friend if he had ghosts, and he said he had a bunch, but that judging from the part of the house I'd come from, I just encountered one of the several male ghosts who liked to watch women while they were naked or using the restroom. He said he could never keep female roommates because of them. I then asked his current female roommate if she'd had any ghost encounters, to which she replied that she knew she looked good naked, but she thought it was rude for them to look. In short, no ghost I've encountered has ever had the slightest resemblance to a shadow creature. I know that many other people believe them to be the same, but I know they are not. Story number 3. I've encountered these beings 3 times. Between first and last are 300 miles and 15 years. My first encounter was at 5 years of age. I was going to my parents' room. The door was on the right of the wall with the bed on it. The bed was centered in the room. As I entered the room, I felt that there was something on the other side of the bed. I didn't look. I just dived and hid on the other side of the bed. The room was lit by the night coming in through the open door from the landing. I lay there, plucking up the courage to look. I looked across the bed. Nothing. I figured it was hiding also and ducked again. I looked again, and this time waited. A black, all-black cloak figure with no distinguishable contours other than the outline about my size, an average 5-year-old, appeared on the other side of the bed. We stayed there for a few seconds before I turned and leapt for the light switch by the door. Turning back again, there was nothing there. At 20, I saw 2 of these figures at separate times in different houses. My room was always cold, and I had heard what has since been described to me as astral noises in there. It was a knocking that traveled around the entire room, even outside on the second floor, at an even pace. I had since left this room, the second bedroom, for the 4th, the smallest bedroom in the house. I just said I didn't like it when I moved my stuff. My sister moved her things in there, though I tried to put her off. The door to that room is opposite the door to the bathroom, and the bathroom mirror opposite the bathroom door. I walked into the bathroom, and over my shoulder in the mirror, I saw a black cloaked figure approximately 6 feet in the bedroom behind me. It was passing perpendicular to me and regarded me only when I started at seeing it, as if it wasn't aware of me until then. I turned and it had gone. The 3rd time, I was alone in the house and ran up the stairs to retrieve something from my room. I didn't switch on the light as I knew the stairs and the switch was inconvenient when you already had a couple of paces speed up to turn and run up them. I turned the corner at the top and stopped with inches to spare as I thought I was going to crash into my dad. Only whatever was in front of me was much larger than my dad, and I was alone in the house. Again, it was a cloaked figure, this time over 6 feet and well-built with broad, square shoulders. Blacker than black, it stood out because it was so much blacker than anything around it. The lights were out. I stood and looked again, like the first time, for a few seconds before going back downstairs rapidly. I must have hit only 3 or 4 stairs out of 12 on the way down. I was obviously spooked by each of these occurrences, but didn't feel threatened as such by any of them. I ran because it didn't seem right. These things certainly weren't human or animal, and the situation was so far from normal. The adrenaline comes up, and wham, I'm out of there. No harm came to anyone in that house, and no one seemed too bothered when I actually told them. No one else saw them there either. I'm now 29, live a further 10,000 miles away, and have not encountered one since. Story number 4. I'm a teenage girl from a small town just north of Toronto, and I've been seeing shadow people for several years now. The first time I saw them, they were just figures, and I happened to catch from the corner of my eye, and I dismissed them as nothing until one evening. I was in the car with my mom, and she was driving. It was around 8 or 9 at night, and it was just getting dark enough not to be able to see distinct features in anything in the absence of light. We were just pulling into the driveway when I noticed a figure in the shape of a man running out of the house. My first thought was that it was my brother. When I looked again, the figure disappeared and my brother ran out seconds later in the same form that the shadow had just seconds earlier. Now, again, I would have dismissed this as nothing, but later that evening, my mom confessed that she had seen something and she described the same image I saw. Since that day, I have been more vigilant when I see shadow people, but still was in a state of denial of what I had seen until just recently. My friend, whom I have not seen for years, was telling me all about EVP and other paranormal phenomena, and I didn't believe a word she said. When he asked me if I'd ever had any weird experiences, I confessed my shadow people sightings, and he showed me tons of websites where people like me had similar experiences. Now I am a firm believer that this phenomena is real and is not to be taken lightly. On another note, I also seemed to see some sort of apparitions. Again, driving home from work one night, I came over the top of a hill on a dirt road and braked suddenly when I saw a deer just standing in the middle of the road staring at me. When the car had stopped, the deer was gone. Several weeks later, coming over the same hill, I again saw a deer in the same position that the ghost deer was before, only this deer was real. I stopped, and it just stared at me, then finally walked away. The deer was different than the shadow people I see. The deer looked so real. I could see in vivid detail every little characteristic, whereas shadow people are just black blurs in human shapes. Also, my grandmother recently passed away, and a couple of months after her death, I moved into her apartment, which my family inherited. Everything was fine until one morning when I was coming out of the bathroom after having a shower. I looked down the hall in the direction of her old room. I don't know why. And there she was sitting on the edge of her bed. She looked alive and well, but her face looked sad. She had something in her hand, maybe a book or pamphlet of some sort. I don't know, as I was unable to get a proper look. I was shocked but intrigued. So I slowly walked in her direction and she just vanished. Not quickly, but just faded and disappeared. I've had several other experiences with the paranormal, but these were just some of the most interesting ones. Story number 5. About 3 years ago, it started. I moved from Washington State to Louisiana. A few months after I left, my sister called and told me that she had a problem in her place. She would be sleeping and get the feeling she was being watched. She would wake up and see a tall, thin, man-looking thing standing by her bed. And when it realized she was awake, it would run away out the back of her house. She could hear its footsteps. The door was locked and bolted from the inside. I told her to sage and cleanse her place. Then it was my turn. A few months after that, I was awakened by a tall thing standing in my doorway about 2 feet from my side of the bed. It was peeking around the doorway looking at me. I opened my eyes and saw it, but then it ran away. This went on for several weeks until I got fed up and saged. Then a few weeks later, I came home from work and I could feel a presence in the house. It made my hair stand up a little. I asked, what it wanted and who it was, but received no signs. So I said, "Get out before I banish you." I could feel it laugh as it left. A few months later, I had a dream where the same creature that came into my house took me through our galaxy past all the planets, so breathtaking up close. We went to another galaxy and came to a planet with a grayish-pink atmosphere where there were no plants or trees and the buildings looked like tall adobe houses. Tram-like things went from building to building. There were no children and no one spoke to me. I was brought back here. A few nights later, I was awakened by the sensation of someone laying on my shoulder. It freaked me out. Jeremy was on his side of the bed. No one was supposed to be on my left side. I opened my eyes and turned my head and saw a thing shaped like human, but not as tall as the one who peeked around my door. It ran away. Over the past few months, Jeremy will come to the room I'm in and ask, "Were you just talking to me?" I would tell him no, but he thinks I am and just trying to freak him out. I swear it is not me. A few months later, I'd gone to bed early. I was awakened by the feeling of being watched. I opened my eyes and saw a face right in front of me. I screamed and screamed until Jeremy came running and turned on the lights. He kept telling me to stop screaming. I could not for a good bit. After I stopped, I told him what happened, but he said it was just a dream. I told him that it wasn't, that I saw a face. About 2 weeks before the eclipse, I started seeing things out of the corner of my eyes and shadows going across my neighbor's house. Small things, large things in the house, they all move with speed. I know they are not ghosts. I know a ghost when I feel one. And they are not there, not here. Story number 6. My name is Jeff, and I now live in Atlanta. I grew up on Fox Street in Memphis, Tennessee. The house I grew up in was built kind of circular style. You'll have to see it to get what I'm talking about, but I will describe it to the best of my ability. And this description is important. When you see the house, it is very small, but there are steps that go up. I think there were 5. As you go into the house, there's the living room, and to the right, the dining room. After the dining room is the kitchen, and immediately is the den. The den leads to the backyard, but to the left goes off to the side as a half bath. Continuing the circular design, after the den was my bedroom, and then it runs into a hallway that is the center of the house. Separated by a wall is the full bath. The opposite way of that hallway, very short, is my folks' master bedroom. On to the story. When I was about 7 or 9 years of age, my mother instructed me to go to bed. I hardly ever fussed over what my mom asked of me, and did so. She was on the phone at the time talking to a girlfriend of hers. Back then, it was the late 70s, and she had an afro. It was very big, too. My father was already in bed. He also had an afro, and he was snoring in his bedroom loudly. I could hear him snore and hear my mom talking on the phone. As I lay in bed, my bed faced toward the closet, and the light of the full bath came into the entryway of my room. I lay there for a minute, wide awake, due to all the racket of my dad snoring and my mom chatting away. As I lay there, I saw a figure in the shape of a bald-headed man slide into the light, but it was all shadow. What got me even more so was how it slid in. It came in sideways, the same way as the light entered, at an angle. I could see no feet, just a figure of the head, neck, and the torso and midsection blended in together. Nothing definable at all other than the shape of the head. It slid in so far sideways and stopped as if to look at me. It stood there, and I was paralyzed with fear. I was looking at me as I was frozen in bed looking at it. After this staring passed, it slid out the same way it came in. After a few minutes, that felt like an eternity, I jumped up and ran as fast as I could and told my mother what happened. She didn't believe me. She was still on the phone and my father was still snoring in bed. I'll never forget that night. It has been burned into my mind. My second ghost experience was a scary one for me, being so close. It basically began at this duplex I lived at when I first moved to Atlanta in 1999 or the year 2000. This duplex was at the end of a cove and it looked kind of old. To describe it, it sat on a slight hill and you have to go up a long flight of steps to get to the front door due to the garage being at the bottom. At the time, I had one roommate. His brother, this ties in later, used to sleep next door in the duplex's other residence, as their older sister owned it. One Sunday morning, I woke up to my roommate's alarm clock ringing. This wasn't unusual. It happened a lot. I had not been drinking the night before, and I stayed home due to my car being in the shop. As his alarm went off and on, I woke up and yelled at my roommate's name. Hey! I yelled out his name again, two more times, followed by, turn your alarm off, man! Soon after that, the alarm went off. Like I said, he tends to forget leaving his alarm on, and he sometimes does not come home until the following day. Soon after the alarm was going off, I went back to sleep. A few moments later, the alarm went off again, and it kept going. I was getting a bit steamed, and that anger of insensitivity got me clearly awake. As the alarm was going off, I went to my window and looked down and saw his Jeep. I assumed he was here at the duplex, so I got on my robe and socks and went to his room. Only the bathroom separated it. As I entered his room, I saw a figure, which looked like him, curled up under the covers to where I could barely see a head. I paid it no mind and went for the alarm clock, which was right against the wall, and his bed, which was right next to it. In other words, I was standing between his bed and dresser where the alarm clock was. It was not any more than 2 feet apart. I turned off the alarm and went to his bed, and it just looked odd. I said, hey, trying to wake him because I was kind of PO'd that he would do this again. It was like his third time doing this, and he would sleep right through an earthquake. I'd come into that room before with him, and they're sleeping hard while the alarm was wailing away. I said, hey, trying to wake him up, and he didn't move. As I reached for his shoulder saying, hey, his back was facing me but seemed to rise like he was trying to get up. The creepy part was that at first it looked like him. I'm dead serious about this. The only thing was he looked like he was in pain. As he moved, the face became distorted. The image of this fake guy was that it was transparent. It was clear, but the outlines of him were very visible with facial features. As it tried to rise, I started to lean back, and as it tried to move, it vanished, fading like smoke. What got me most was that this thing was covered by the sheet and blanket. I saw the covers move up around it, like the ghost had substance, and it freaked me out bad. I ran from the room and prayed for at least 30 minutes. I found out later that my roommate slept at his parents' house the night before. He had been out with his brother all night and left his Jeep at the duplex. I called his parents' house, and that's how I found out. I got vibes about that place when I first moved there. Just an uneasy feeling when I came home and it was pitch black and like I was being watched. His brother said when he spent the night next door, there were times he could have sworn that he closed the door but would come back into the same room and it would be open. At times, the brother would hear sounds that the door would be opening when in fact it hadn't. He also told me he felt that he was being watched. Story number 7. When I was very young, almost too young to remember, I had a terrible fear of the dark. I was too young to remember why, but if the lights went out, I started screaming. So my parents decided I was getting older and that it was time that I shouldn't be afraid of the dark anymore. So they took me into my grandmother's bedroom and turned the lights off. It appeared before me in an instant. It was small, so it looked like only several feet tall, black on black. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face, yet somehow this thing was darker and had a 3D shape, like a cloaked man. I started screaming like mad, so they turned on the lights. Years went by, and that moment stuck out in my mind, but I never saw it again until I was much older. I always put that scare session off as my imagination. In the middle of broad daylight, I was walking down the hallway to go play football. I was tossing the football up in the air and catching it. I was full of energy from playing. I'd only come back in to get the football and a drink of water, so my mind was only on getting back outside and playing. While walking down the hallway, I felt a sudden surge of terror come over me, and my back got ice cold. I turned, and it was inches away from me. The funny thing is, it was daylight, nothing there to cast shadows. I saw it. It was the exact same one I saw when I was very little. I stood there and it went backwards away from me very, very fast. But I looked at it long enough that I could draw a picture of it from memory clearly. I watched it flee, and needless to say, I was a bit freaked out, but I kept the incident to myself and realized at that point that it was not my imagination. A few more years passed after that, and the frequency of my visits increased dramatically and started interfering with my sleep. I was afraid to shut my eyes, lights on or not. I got to the point that I saw them so often that they started to become a normal part of my life, seeing them at least once every 2 days or so. At this point, I figured they aren't bothering me. I guess I can deal with it. And over time, my sleep started to return to normal. Part of this comfort was due to the fact that I only saw them at my grandmother's house, so I figured there was something in that house. There were three or four that came to me on a regular basis. The worst one was the little one, shaped kind of like a popsicle. It had far less mass than the first two. Now, this is where there's a twist that leads to my freak-out period, that I was forced to start speaking about what was going on. My first really bad episode was a voice. Only one time I've ever heard anything out of all the times they come to me. It sounded like 1,000 voices in unison saying my name. One time, that's it. Freaked me out. I was in the car when this happened, broad daylight, waiting for my mother to come back out of the store. I was around 16. From that day forward, the frequency increased again, and that was daily when they were coming to me. One night, I was asleep in my cousin's floor. He lived with my grandmother, so I was back in the house where I saw them all the time. I woke in the middle of the night to something pulling on my legs. I looked down, and it was the little one. It had a hold of my leg, pulling me hard enough. It woke me up, and my legs were elevated slightly off the floor. As soon as it realized I was looking at it, it let go of me and fled. That was the last night I spent in the house, 10 years ago, and I've never spent another night in there ever again. Weeks went by, never saw them, and then it started coming to my house. Just the little one. It lifted my feet up, pulling on me one night in my bed at my home. So I'm super freaked at this point, and I stopped sleeping again. The showstopper was a combination of a nightmare and the little one. In my dream, I was chasing my cat. It was a very vivid dream, and when I finally cornered the cat, I reached down to pick it up, and its eyes got great big. I stood back up, curious as to what it was looking at. I turned, and the big one, the shadow, was over my shoulder. The cat had been running from it, so I started to come to, half in, half out, realizing it was a dream. I opened my eyes, and the little one is standing beside my bed, and I'm on my side looking right at it. The shock caused me to become alert quickly, and when it realized I was awake and looking at it, it left me. I was so terrified, and I tried to scream out. Mind you, I'm like 17 at this point. When I tried to scream, my body was unresponsive, and I hurt all over real bad, like pins and needles. I was fully awake at that point, but I still could not move. I could see and look around, but just couldn't move my limbs or even speak. You know that feeling you get when your arms fall asleep? Pain, pins and needles, and numb so bad you can't move it? My whole body was like that. I feared that my heart had stopped or something bad. After about 30 seconds, I was able to start moving again, only in great pain. First thing I did was shoot for my parents' door and pound like hell to wake them up. I told them everything from the start. I was in so much fear, I didn't know if I was just crazy or what, but at this point, I couldn't ignore them. They were hurting me, and I couldn't do anything to stop them. My mother believed me and began researching my problems, using the Bible as well as other sources. Eventually, we spoke to some relatives about it and learned that I wasn't alone. My uncle described what he called a bat figure that walked from one room into another in my grandmother's house in broad daylight. It freaked him out, but he didn't talk about it. My cousin and grandmother saw a face come out of a wall like a shadow face. One of my other uncles was visited quite often and had 100% of the same experiences as I had. His legs were lifted up at night. The difference was when he looked on them, they wouldn't leave him. He told me they were curious about us because we were flesh beings, so he left them alone and be curious. However, I couldn't just ignore them. I feared for my life, and I would not wake up if the little one came back and repeated what it had tried in the past. So at this point, I knew I wasn't crazy, but this didn't solve my problem. I told my mother my worries, particularly about my health, because I would go like 3 days straight with no sleep. It was starting to break me down, and that was no way to live. I was afraid I was going to lose my mind. My mother started praying for me, and over time, they stopped showing up. I believe they are evil beings. Anything that brings on so much terror and pain could not be good. Years later in college, my girlfriend, now wife, was visiting with me one night, and while laying in bed, she got very quiet. I asked her what was wrong, and she said she felt as if she was being watched, while I saw two of them were standing in my doorway. I didn't say anything, and she couldn't see them, but she knew they were there. I believe my fear gave into weakness and gave them the power to hurt me, similar to the one story about feeding off of human energy. I think they fed off my fear, and at its height, they were able to touch me. I haven't seen them in years, and I pray to God I never see them again. I swear my stories are true. I've never done drugs or anything of that nature. I hold a high-paying corporate position. I'm very healthy and active, and have been all my life. I have had other incidents in my life that were very strange, but this is my shadow people experience. I believe my family has something that passes down through their ancestry that allows them to see these beings. My mother's bloodline in particular has a history of this.